As we get ready to dig in, I'm going to pause for a second and ask you to do something. So I want you to take out your cell phone. I want you to do that right now. And for those who know how to access Facebook, if you don't know how to access Facebook, well, this may not be all that helpful to you. But anyway, so go to your cell phone, find your, open up Facebook, go to the Golden Acres Facebook page. All of you at home watching virtually, I want you to do the same thing. Don't think you're accepted out of this just because you're in our virtual worship service. And so here's what I want you to do. Find the live feed. We have a live feed going on. We have a virtual campus going on. We have an in-person campus. And click share. That's all you got to do. Click share. You would not believe how much this expands the reach of this service when you just simply click share. It shares to your timeline. That means all the people that follow you on your timeline, who may not go to church, who may not come to Golden Acres, who may not be a part, they see it, and many of them at times will get on there. So it's a great way to share what God's doing here as we go about. All right? So if you don't know what's going on, you're not sure how to do that, find a 12-year-old and get him or her to show you how to do that. So anyway, this is, when you see things that the church posts, when you see stuff, if you can like it and share it, because the share it multiplies the impact of those who are watching. So that's a good way, I believe, a really simple way to extend the gospel impact as we go. Had a friend named Tim. Tim was his name. Tim was married, two or three years. He was a young husband. He and his wife did not have children yet. They planned to have children. Tim was a successful salesman in his company, and he was one of the top salesmen in his company. And so he made a pretty good living. His wife had a good job, so they had two income home, no kids, and so they were doing pretty well. They were involved in their church. He had just been nominated and elected as a deacon, first time, a young guy. And so they were involved in their church. They served in their church. They attended weekly. They gave regularly to their church. All the things that are a part of being, you know, a part of a church. And so they would, from the outside, you would look at them and say, wow, that is a couple that really has it going on. And that's really cool. Their trajectory in life seems to be at a good place. Tim came home one day and told his wife, Denise, who had been his high school sweetheart, Denise, our church is doing a short-term mission trip this summer. I want to go. And so the only problem was they weren't sure if he would be able to get off the amount of time necessary. It was a couple of weeks, and he did not really think that that was going to be feasible, but he was going to ask, and lo and behold, he was able to get the time off. And so he went on that short-term mission trip, and when he came home, he sat down with his bride, and he said, Denise, I think God may be doing something more long-term in my life than just a short-term mission trip. He began to pray about it. He shared with a couple of folks that he knew, and he found out that there was a scholarship offer potential at a Bible college in Middle Georgia. So he went there, he attended there, and began to work on his Bible degree. While he was attending school there, he was approached by a group out of Middle Georgia in the Rehoboth Baptist Association. As Southern Baptists, we operate in local associations and state conventions and then in the national. And so their local association was looking to plant a church, and they approached him up about being the church planter. He had never planted a church. He had never pastored a church. He had never been on staff at a church. He really didn't know what beheld, but he went ahead and took the opportunity, and he planted that church. That church is named Friendship Baptist Church. It's in Warner Robins, Georgia. It is still a flourishing church there. He pastored that church for somewhere between maybe 10, 12, 13 years, at which point the association approached him and asked him to become their associational missionary, kind of the head over the association. He took that role. Ironically, the church I was pastoring before I came here, when I came to Golden Acres, he stepped in and served as the interim of that church till they brought in a permanent pastor. It is amazing the trajectory that you can have when you're walking with God that maybe you did not anticipate. Ladies and gentlemen, when God is bringing His plan to pass, He will impact families for His glory. Did you hear that? When God is bringing His plan to pass, He will impact families for His glory. Could that be yours? Let's take a look this morning at just a few thoughts about what it might mean for God to impact our families. Particularly three areas we're going to look at on how God might impact our families, looking in the book of Luke chapter 2. We're looking at the Christmas story, the impact of Christmas. Luke chapter 2 is where we will be today. Last week we covered verses 1 through 3. Today we will cover verses 4 through 7. But in verses 4 through 7, we're going to look at a couple of areas, three areas actually, on where God might impact your family, where God might impact my family when he's doing his work in our lives. And so I'm going to take a moment and read Luke 2, verses 1 through 7, and then we're going to go back and begin in verse 4 with our study for the day. Luke chapter 2, and whether you've got your smartphone Bible or your smart tablet or your hard copy, whatever it is, you go ahead and turn there. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And I'm gonna share something with you before I start, one thing before I forget. As I read this story, when I get a sentence in, for most of you, it's going to be as familiar as the back of your hand. But I want to challenge you to do something as I read all the way through verse 7. Engage your mind. Really lock in and listen to these phrases, these words. Ask God to speak them to you fresh in ways that maybe you've never heard them before. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. We looked at those verses last week. The government had issued a census. Everyone had to go to the city of origin of your family and be registered there. It was mainly for taxation purposes. Now verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You want to talk about how God changes and impacts our families. There are few that were impacted greater than Joseph and Mary. Let's take a look at three areas that God might impact in your family. First being this. When God's at work, one area he might impact is he might move a family's location. God might move a family's location when he impacts that family. Look again at verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee. Now, Galilee is in the northern tip, the northern end of Israel, near the Sea of Galilee. And it goes on to explain that he's coming out of Nazareth. Nazareth is a city. Galilee is the region. Now, Nazareth, actually, kind of to call it a city would probably be overstating the case as we understand cities in our terms today. It was more like a community, a stopover. One of those places where when you drive through it, it has a little green sign on the side of the road that says Nazareth, unincorporated. Well, that's the kind of city, little town that you just kind of pass through. That was Nazareth. It was a stopover. There wasn't much to it. There's more to it today, but there wasn't then. It was at the northern part of Israel, and they were going to head south toward Jerusalem, and then Bethlehem. Bethlehem is just south of Jerusalem. In fact, today, Bethlehem, it's almost like it's a suburb of Jerusalem, except it has fences around it and guards, and it's a very secure city, depending on who's in control of it at any given time. But still, back in that day, it was a small town just south of Jerusalem. So they had to travel south, probably through Samaria, past Jerusalem to Bethlehem. So it says they went up from Galilee. Now, if I'm leaving Phoenix City and going to Dothan, do I say I am going up to Dothan or down to Dothan? Down, right, because north to south. Well, here they're going from north to the south. Why would it say up? Well, some of you know the answer to this, but I'm going to tell you for those who may not be aware of it. Nazareth and Galilee were about 1,400 feet above sea level. Bethlehem's about 2,800 feet above sea level. in a section of about 85 miles. So literally from Nazareth to Bethlehem, you're going uphill the whole time. So even though they're going south, they're going uphill. That's important because of the trip they'll take. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Three things I want to make sure you're aware of about Bethlehem. First of all, the word Bethlehem, do you know it means the house of bread? Which seems to fit, since in John chapter 6, you want to know what Jesus called himself after feeding the 5,000? I am the bread of life. And so it just makes sense that Jesus is born in the house of bread city because he is the bread of life. That's the first thing. Second thing about Bethlehem is the prophecy. If you were to go back to the Old Testament, hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, into Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Don't turn there right now, but you can look at it later. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Listen to this. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel. Guess who that one is? Anybody want to take a guess? Right? Whose going forth are from old, from everlasting. There's only one person who is eternal. There's only one person who's ever been born who has always been. All of us who were born, we live, if we know Christ, we live in eternity. But there was a beginning to our existence. There was no beginning to the existence of Jesus. He was God the Son. He lasts eternally. And so hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, it was prophesied in Micah that the Messiah would come out of Bethlehem. And so that's important about Bethlehem. But something else about Bethlehem that it says here in this verse, it says Bethlehem is the city of David. Question, I'm asking. If you're online, you can answer this in the comments. Put it in the comments. Is there another city in the Bible referred to as the city of David? If so, what is it? Anyone? How about Jerusalem? So is Jerusalem the city of David or is Bethlehem the city of David? Well, the answer is yes. Yeah, the answer is yes. Both are. Well, see, Jerusalem is the political city of David. King David became the greatest king of Israel. He built Jerusalem, essentially. It became kind of the city of David in a political sense. But Bethlehem, on the other hand, David's people were from Bethlehem. See, if you ask me, where are your people from? I'm going to say East Tennessee. That's four generations back of Ellison's came in. That's where I'm originally from. So my granddaddy's from, my great-granddaddy, my great-great-granddaddy. They're all from East Tennessee. Well, for David, his family was from Bethlehem. That was his lineage. And so Bethlehem was also the city of David. That was David's lineage. And so verse 4, it says Joseph, the last phrase, Joseph was also of the house and lineage of David. So Joseph was in that line. Which, by the way, prophecies indicate that the Messiah had to come out of the lineage of David. But the thing I want to note here in verse 4 is the move that Joseph and Mary are making. Temporary as it might be, she is really, really pregnant. There is this point, you know, when you're pregnant, when you're the first few months, okay, you can travel and just be careful. But there's that point where your doctor says, okay, from this point on, you don't go out of town, right? You're too close to giving birth. Anybody ever heard that, ladies? Anybody ever heard that, right? You don't go out of town after this point. Can you imagine Joseph and Mary a couple of months in, to the pregnancy, looking around and going, you know what, I think when you're about 8 3/4 months pregnant, I think we'll just take a trip. I think we'll take a trip down to Bethlehem, 85 miles away. Listen, this is from Phoenix City to Montgomery. They did not have a car, did not have a train, did not have a plane. They walked their little selves up a mountain into Bethlehem. Why would you do that? Except God decided to change your location. And the rest is history, right? And we're looking back and going, wow, what if they hadn't gone? Well, they did. But if they hadn't, well, they'd mess up the whole Bible story. It would undermine the prophecy of God. How many of you know sometimes God may want to change your location. It may not be geographical location. It may be something else. 2 years ago, this month, probably this week, 2 years ago, I was then, for those who are guests here, I think this is my 20th month as the pastor of this church. I was thinking about that today. I was laughing because you know how sometimes when we refer to kids, and you'll ask the lady, "Lady, how old is your baby?" "Well, he's 48 months." "No, he's 4 years old, lady." "Okay, just say 4 years, okay?" So I'm just 20 months. I guess when I hit 2 years, I'm going to say I've been here 2 years. Anyway, so 20 months I've been the pastor of Golden Acres Baptist Church. But 2 years ago, December of 2018, I had been the pastor of my previous church for almost 14 years. When I arrived at that church, know that it was a church in crisis. For about 12 or 13 years, it had declined. The neighborhood around it had transitioned. We came in 2005, and for almost 14 years, just poured our lives into that place and saw it come from I remember one lady when I first got to that church in 2005. She was a lady who was very involved in the church, just a faithful member, loved the Lord. And she said, "Pastor, you know what someone told me a couple months ago? They told me if we don't turn around in the next couple of years, we're going to have a for sale sign out front." She said, "Pastor, I told them if they do, they're going to have to lock the door behind me because I ain't leaving." So that was the mindset, though. It was a church that was in crisis. It was in trouble. It had been declining. And so we got there in 2005, almost 14 years later. We're seeing the ministries expand. We're seeing people come in. We're seeing multiracial, multicultural, multi-ethnic congregations, people join. It was awesome to see. But in December of 2018, I'll never forget, the Lord really began to prompt me that we were at a lull in terms of just the vision. And I just began to pray. And I'll never forget this one week, I met with my pastors and I sat down with them and I said, "Guys, I got to share something with you. It may be a little startling, but I feel like I need to be pretty open." I said, "I believe in 2019, God's going to do one of two things. He's going to give us a fresh vision for what's ahead, or he's going to change one of us." And so we prayed about it. Well, later that week, my bride and I were at John's Mexican Restaurant. You ever go to Warramas, Georgia? Go to John's Mexican. Well, now, I think it's about to close down, so you better go quick. But anyway, so it is one of the oldest Mexican restaurants in Warramas. It's been there through thick and thin. I was so disappointed to hear it's going to close. But we loved it. They had this bean dip that's fantastic, but that's another issue. So anyway, Alyssa and I are coming out of John's Mexican Restaurant with a 12-pack of soft beef tacos, right? We're taking them home for supper. We do tacos on Tuesday nights. We usually do them at the house. Sometimes we pick up tacos, though. So anyway, so we're coming out of the restaurant, and I'll never forget this. As we're walking out, I looked at Alyssa, and I said, "You know, when we met earlier this week with the pastors, I said, you know what I shared?" And she said, "What's that?" I said, I said, "Babe, I really believe God, there is a lull in kind of the vision and the progress and the direction of the church. I think in 2019, one of two things is going to happen. I said, in 2019, either God's going to give us a fresh vision, completely fresh, or I told the guys that, or he's going to replace one of us." And her answer is classic. My bride. She said, "I really doubt it's going to be you." Which tells you a whole lot about how my wife walks with the Lord. Because 4.5 months later, I was starting as pastor of this church. But in December of 2018, God already knew. I didn't know any of you. None of y'all knew me. I didn't know anything about Golden Acres Baptist Church. I'd only been by Phoenix City, Alabama, as far as I can remember one time, and that was on the way to a travel ball tournament in Alabama, or in Auburn with my son Andrew. So I didn't even know that much about Phoenix City except where to find it on a map. Already in that December, God was working things out, putting pieces in place to get us where he wanted us to be. And I'm telling you, I don't know what's going on in your life, and I don't know what's happening with you, but I'm saying sometimes God might change your location. And that may not be geographically. It may be financially. It may be spiritually. It may be in terms of where you serve. But I'm saying, why would you think that where you are now is absolutely where you have to be? Maybe you need to back up and be open to what God wants to do. He might move your location, family. Look at verse 5. It says that Joseph showed up in Bethlehem to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. It was It was unusual, by the way, for the wife to go with the husband for the census. It was not common. In fact, she did not need to be there. Someone might look at that and say, well, why would Joseph take Mary away from her mama, away from whatever people could be there to help her give birth to this baby? Why would he take her 85 miles south, probably walking? How many of you, let's be honest, how many of you think Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem on a donkey? Be honest. Because, you know, the scriptures don't really actually specifically say that. Now, it's a safe guess, maybe, except that we know that Joseph and Mary were poor. I don't even know if they would have had money to have a donkey. Do you know it's likely they walked that whole way, that poor, sweet young girl? She wasn't any more than about 16, 17, 18 years old. And there she goes with Joseph down the bed. Why would he do that? Why not just leave her there, go take care of your business, come back, come back to Nazareth? Well, let me ask you this. I do think we have a little bit of an answer in Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, the angel shows up to talk to Joseph. We won't turn there. You can look at it later. But the angel shows up to talk to Joseph. He tells Joseph, he says, Joseph, Mary's going to be pregnant. I know that you're only betrothed. You haven't actually come together physically. But I'm telling you, this is God. You can take her as your own, and everything's going to be okay. And at the end of that passage, I think it's in verses 24, 25 of Matthew chapter 1, it says that he took her as his wife, and yet he did not gather with her physically until after the birth of Jesus. I'm going to suggest that I think, and I had it confirmed by a Bible teacher that I respect a lot this week, I'm going to suggest that I think they went ahead and went through with a marriage ceremony. Now, they did not come together physically yet, because that was what the angel told them, but I think they went ahead and went through with the marriage ceremony to protect Mary. And so now as they're traveling, they would not have traveled together unmarried. It wasn't done at that time. So what's somebody going to do? They ask you, hey, who's this pregnant lady with you? Oh, it's my betrothed fiance. Really? But that would have caused real trouble. Instead, now he could say, this is my wife. Now, so, but even though they went through the ceremony, even though they're now married, the people back at the house, they know when Mary got pregnant. They know the timing, right? They're not dumb. They can do simple math. That girl was pregnant before they got married. And what if Joseph had left her by herself back in Nazareth? What might have happened to her? I don't know. We know she needed to get to Bethlehem, but I'm just saying, I suspect Joseph, being the righteous man he was, said, no, you're coming with me. I'm going to take care of you, honey. And so verse six. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. By the way, the last two words of verse 5 say she was with child. It's a Greek word, right? It's a Greek word. It says she was with child. It's a Greek word which means a rising, right? So you get the picture. And so verse 6, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. How many of you think when Mary first got pregnant that they had all plans to pull up stakes when she was about to give birth and haul down to Bethlehem and have the baby there? How many of you think that? Because I know when we were pregnant with our babies, we had a specific plan. You go to the doctor a certain amount of time, a certain amount of sonograms. You know the hospital you're going to, the doctor you're going to have. And what if that doctor's not on call? No, I want my doctor on call, right? So you have a specific plan to be at when you have that baby. That is your destination. But can I suggest to you that sometimes when God's at work, He might change our destination without even asking us? And so He did. He changed their destination. I think about a family like Abraham and Sarah. He changed their destination. But if He hadn't, boy, that would have been trouble. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean this. If Abraham and Sarah had not obeyed God and done what He'd called them to do, then they might not have had Isaac. If they hadn't had Isaac, then Isaac might not have had Jacob. If they hadn't had Jacob, then Jacob might not have had his 12 sons. Well, what about the 12 sons? They were the 12 tribes of Israel. And if the 12 tribes weren't there, then that certainly means the tribe of Judah would not be there. And if the tribe of Judah wasn't there, guess what? The Bible prophesied that out of the tribe of Judah would come the Messiah. Without Judah, no Messiah. We're in big, big trouble. How many of you would even begin to think, if I obey God here, if I just walk with God here, who knows what kind of a domino effect that's going to have for the kingdom and for the glory of God? You say, wow, that's scary. No, it's not scary. All it requires is right where you are to obey him now. Yeah, but Pastor, so obey him now, then what about this? And what about, no, the whatabouts. Just obey him where you are right now. He takes care of the whatabouts. He takes care of all those other things that are going to happen afterwards that you're not certain about. I'm telling you, you obey him right now. Your destination, the place you think you're going to end up and you're planning to, he might move it. I don't know. And the days were completed for her to be delivered. I want to point something out. In verse 6, it says, so it was that while they were there, right? The there is Bethlehem, right? How many of you, like me, kind of growing up, my picture that I had in my mind was Joseph and Mary were trucking down to Bethlehem, and they got to Bethlehem just in time to be turned away, but squeal the tires into the manger area where she, bam, have the baby, like that night. I don't know, maybe nobody else has that picture in mind, but I did. But look at verse 6, it says, while they were there. How long is while they were there? How long is that? Is that a day? Is that 3 days, 4 days, a week? Are you telling me Mary and Joseph could have been there for days without a place to stay? Either way, whether you get there at the last minute and no place to stay and give birth to the baby, that's a problem. Or you get there and you have to stay for days without a really good place to stay. Both of these are problems. Oh, God changed their destination. There's no way they would have planned to be here where they were. Are you somewhere in your life right now and you're saying, Lord, I never planned to be here. I'm not making as much money as I thought I would. I have not advanced in my business like I thought I would. I have not been as successful as I thought it would be. Can I suggest to you, do you think God knows about it? Do you think God knows about that? Because I'm telling you, God can change your destination. And at the point of change, it may not always feel like a blessing, but I'm telling you. Look at verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, which are strips of cloth, probably 2 or 3 inches wide, that the baby's wrapped up in. I know in a lot of nativity scenes we have a doll and a blanket, right? So, but the swaddling cloths were many of them wrapped around tightly, almost like a mummy. And there were several reasons that they did that back at that time. And in that day and in the Middle East, they felt like if they wrapped those babies tight, kept them warm, of course. It kept them from clawing themselves with fingernails, right? Mamas, they put those little gloves on the babies so they don't claw their eyes out with their fingernails when they're first born because they don't do that. Those little dudes are sharp, aren't they? So we put gloves on, they put them swaddling cloths around them. The other thing that the Middle Easterns felt at the time was that the baby would press against the cloth and it would build strength in their arms and their legs. In fact, many thought that you couldn't even develop physically properly if you weren't wrapped in swaddling cloths. And if you didn't wrap your baby in swaddling cloths, you would be seen as kind of an unfit parent, so to speak. And so all this is happening here, and here's Joseph and Mary just trying to take care of business. This is just real life. This is not, quite frankly, I think, God bless, I like the song Silent Night. How many of you love the song Silent Night, right? But how many of you really think it was silent? Because have you ever been in the labor room with your wives? How many of you really think it was silent? It weren't silent. Well, all the cattle were lowing. No, the lady was screaming. That's what was happening. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger. The word manger, there's a word that literally means, the verb form means to feed, and the noun form means kind of a feeding trough. And so he was laid in a feeding trough. There's nothing in the text that says it was in a stable or a barn, although it makes sense that if they were laying him in a feeding trough, they were at some sort of barn or stable or some kind of structure that way. So it's logical to think that, although it's not explicitly stated in Scripture. And he said, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now listen, if you are picturing an inn, like the 8-story Holiday Express you just stayed in last week, you are incorrect. The comfort suites with the complimentary breakfast. You go in there and make your own waffle. How many of y'all like that? I like those. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a small community, Bethlehem, first of all. Small community. We're talking about, at best, an inn would have been just a small one-room rock-style building, maybe a wooden building. But remember, there's a census going on. So the Roman officials were in Bethlehem, which means, guess who got the good places first? All the folks with the political clout. Mary and Joseph, they were nobodies. Y'all ever showed up in town, going somewhere, got nowhere to stay? It's a little nerve-wracking, I gotta be honest with you. Coming into town, not knowing the hotel, not knowing where to stay. It's late at night, everything's closed. I'll never forget years ago, my oldest daughter, who's now 27, she was a senior in high school. So I guess this was 9-10 years ago. Andrew, who's my just recent college graduate, was in middle school. And then Sarah Elizabeth, who's now 16, was just a little bitty thing. And we had gotten some kind of a really, really special offer, like 70-80% off of Discovery Cove, SeaWorld down in Orlando. I don't know if y'all know what that is. Go swim with the dolphins, the whole deal. And we could never have afforded it, but we got this huge sale on the tickets somehow. And so it was a last-minute deal. Alyssa had an in-service day. She's a teacher. My bride did. As soon as her day was over, we took off. And earlier that day, she told me, she said, why don't we drive down maybe an hour or two, hour and a half outside of Orlando, stop at a hotel, just sleep there, and then get up early in the morning. We can be there first thing because Discovery Cove offered breakfast, so we'd go there. So we're getting in the car. We got the kids. We're heading down the road, and she says, well, did you get us a hotel? I said, did I, baby? How many of you all like Priceline? Did any of y'all use Priceline like me? I use Priceline to get hotels. It's you bid, you get these cheapest hotels. I said, baby, I got us a hotel room for $32. It was just silent for a minute. She said, what kind of hotel did you get us? I said, baby, it's Priceline. Priceline's always good. And Priceline gives you the star rating, right? I don't remember what the star rating was, like 1 3/4, 2 maybe. I just said, well, we're going to do a sleep there that night, right? So we're heading down the road, and it's late at night, and we pull up at the hotel, which is probably just as well. We pull up to the hotel. You don't even go inside to check in this hotel. It's like a drive-through window. You walk up to that. There are bars. There are metal bars on the window where you're checking into the hotel. I'm not kidding you. I'm not making this up. You ask my kids about the CSI hotel. They'll tell you about it. My kids are going, Dad, what kind of hotel did you get? I'm like, it's going to be fine. Come on. They swear there was like those murder outline on the floor. There was not one. I'm telling you. So we got to the room. Alyssa's like, nobody go in. I'm checking the beds for bugs. And she goes in. Andrew's like, we had just kind of started, you know, using apps back at that time. And Andrew's like, Dad, I found this app. When you push it, it sounds like a machine gun. I put it on my phone, so if somebody tries to attack us, I push it. The machine gun will scare them off. Any of y'all ever had kind of a hotel experience like that? Probably nobody else in here, but I'm just saying. It is a difficult thing to show up in town, and you got nowhere to stay. Can I suggest to you that was not the calculation of Joseph and Mary? How many of you know sometimes when God is impacting us and our families, He might change our calculations? We thought it was going to take this many years. It took this many. We thought we were going to have this much money. We have this much. We thought we were going to have this many kids, and we have this many. Pastor, I really thought by now I would be farther. I really thought by now I would have a more lucrative job. I really thought by listen. God knows where you are. He, in the midst of the chaos, He knew where Joseph and Mary were. He changed their calculations, but guess what? Now we're still talking about them. And many of us have been saved by the baby they gave birth to that night. God changed their calculations. Folks, when God is bringing His plan to pass, He will impact families. In a book that I just finished a week or two ago, I mentioned this book last week. It's written by Dr. Tony Evans called Oneness Embrace. I referenced it last week, but there's a story in it that I love. Tony Evans talks about growing up, and he said at 9 years old, his dad got saved. He said, my family changed. He said, I can literally remember before his salvation and after. Any of y'all know that when daddies start walking with the Lord, families start changing? And Tony Evans says, I can still remember life before his salvation and life after. It was such a radical change. God changed the destination. He changed the calculation. He changed the location of Tony Evans' family. Not geographical location, but spiritual. There are some families we have at Golden Acres that may need some spiritual relocation. And maybe that's you. Listen, maybe it begins with you coming to know Christ as your Savior. You need that now. You need to come and you need to talk with someone about how to be born again, because until that happens, your family's going to stay right there stuck in a spiritually difficult place. Listen, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to extend to you some opportunities to respond to what God's speaking to your heart. Father, in Jesus' name, help us, Lord, to obey you these moments right now. Why don't you stand right where you are? Just stand. And look, maybe it is that you need to trust Christ as your Savior. Maybe it is that you need to be born again. I'm just going to lay it out there for you. We saw baptism early. You know, baptism did not save Tariq. That baptism was an indicator. It was a testimony. He was saying, God has already saved me. And maybe today that needs to happen to you. On the screen, maybe you're uncomfortable coming forward. All right? There's a number on the screen. Text that number, put the word decision in the message bar, and you'll get a link back, and you can fill that out. Someone will get in touch with you, and they can talk with you by phone. They can come by your house, whatever. Whatever you need, but we would love to talk with you about how to be born again. We just want to see the gospel change lives and families. Or, look, maybe you're new here. Maybe you're a first-time guest. You can take this same number, text the word welcome. Just welcome. You'll get a link back, and you can share with us kind of how God brought you here and information about your family and if you want to know more about this church. Maybe you want to know more about how to join this church and become a member. Text decision or come here. But I want to do something right now. I want to pray for you. But I specifically want to pray, and this is only if you feel comfortable. If it is that you'd say, Pastor, I'm not sure, but I think God may be doing some things in our family that's really, really changing us. I'm going to ask you to do one of two things. Maybe you want to come on down to the front. I'm not going to ask you to do anything crazy. I just want to pray for you. Or maybe just by a show of hands. Pastor, I just want to see God move in our families, or maybe I think God may be doing something different in our families. I'm not sure. Could you pray for me that we could really get on board with where God's going? Just either by a show of hands or coming down front, either way, and I want to pray for you. How many would say? Hands up, kind of all around the room and upstairs. Let's pray. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, God, if we have spiritually unhealthy families, Lord, we'll have a spiritually unhealthy church. God, I'm praying for these families. I love them, but I know you love them far more than I even am able to. God, today I'm asking you to move in the hearts of families, husbands and wives, moms and dads, daughters and sons, brothers and sisters. Oh, God, do a work today. Do a work. And Lord, help us that we might respond in obedience. In Jesus' name we pray.